Palm Sunday. The scripture reading is John chapter 11, verse 38 through 44. It is a story of raising Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus and the brother of Mary and Martha, two of Jesus' followers. This story takes place just before Jesus came into Jerusalem, Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Listen for God to speak to us through the scripture. Then, Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he had been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upwards and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, on this glorious day that you have made, we gather around the word to hear you speak. Teach us, God, whatever barriers, whatever distractions that we've brought with us, whatever things are clamoring for our attention, we just ask that you would set those aside so that we can focus and hear you. In Christ's name, amen. So we are looking at the geography of God, and we've been looking at the images and the use of caves in telling the stories of Scripture. And today we come to the cave of death. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus, and just before Palm Sunday, just before Jesus enters into Jerusalem, he is on his way there and is distracted. He is delayed. And hears that his friend Lazarus is very, very sick, but he's not able, and he purposely does not go directly to him, and Lazarus dies. And they take the dead body and they place it in a cave. This was a typical way of burying people at that time. Rather than digging a grave in the ground, they placed them in a recessed area and rolled a large stone in front of it. Jesus comes and says, "Roll away the stone." Martha, Lazarus's sister, says, "Lord, if we do that, it's going to be a terrible odor, a terrible stench. He's been dead for 4 days." But Jesus is not deterred. The stone is rolled away, and he calls forth Lazarus. He prays to God, and he calls Lazarus out of the tomb. And the dead man walks out. And Jesus tells those who are standing around to unbind him, to unwrap him, and set him free. John has given us the most powerful sign of Jesus' incredible power, the power to raise the dead to life. But he has not only given us a story of raising the dead to life, he has given us a story that is a model for spiritual life, for spiritual living. It is a pattern, a template for what happens to human beings spiritually when we come into contact with Jesus. You know, there are ways of being dead without being physically dead. There are parts of our lives that die every day. There are things that happen to us that kill something inside of us. There are people walking around healthy, fit, eating, breathing, and yet there is something about them that is quite dead. In fact, the Bible says that all of us spiritually begin our spiritual lives not as living people, but as dead people. The Bible says that all people, every single person, has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sin is separation from God, being cut off from the life source of God. God's Spirit is what makes us alive spiritually, and in sin, when that gets severed, it's like breaking a branch off of a tree and casting it aside. And it might sit there for quite a while with its leaves still on it, even with blossoms, but left alone for a long enough time, it begins to shrivel and it is dead. It is cut off from the source of life. That is our essential human condition. We may not be in a cave or in a tomb physically, but spiritually, we're all there. Spiritually, we all begin cut off from the life of God, the life that God wants to give us. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible says you were dead through the trespasses and sin in which you once lived. Sin is deadly. It kills us spiritually. It cuts us off from God. Because it's deadly, it means it stinks. Martha gets it right. Don't roll away that stone. There's something that used to be living in there that's now dead. It's going to stink. Sin has a distinctive aroma, and friends, it is not good. And we use that expression a lot. When life hurts us, when life gets ugly, we often say it stinks. Fail the test. It stinks. We're forced to do chores that we don't want to do. It stinks. Somebody made a promise to us, and they broke that promise. Someone said they were going to do something, and they didn't do it. That stinks. Somebody made a promise to live faithfully in marriage, and they broke that promise. Friends, it stinks. Crazed dictators dropped chemical bombs on their own people, and they're murdered. It stinks. A group of worshipers this morning in a Coptic church in Egypt gathered for Palm Sunday, and a bomb went off and dozens were killed. Friends, it stinks. We live in a world of stench, the stink of sin. And whether we have been the cause of that stench or that stench has gotten onto us, the fact of the matter is we all begin our lives spiritually stinking, separated from God, dead in our sins. The raising of Lazarus gives us a template for what happens when somebody who is dead meets Jesus. Jesus is no friend of death, and he is not going to make his home in a cave of death. In fact, Jesus doesn't even go into that cave. He stands on the outside and says, "Lazarus, come out." And he says the same thing to each one of us. Those of us who are spiritually dead, Jesus says, come out of your cave. Come out of your depression. Come out of your ugliness. Come out of that selfish behavior. Come out of that addiction. Come out and get alive. Live again. Jesus is in the business of performing miracles. The same miracle that raised Lazarus is the same miracle that raised me and the same miracle that has the power to raise us all. Jesus is the miracle worker. He is the one who brings the dead back to life spiritually. In fact, he's the only one who has that power. The power to forgive sin, to break the stranglehold of sin, and to restore us to life. Jesus is the miracle worker. But having stepped out of the cave, that's not the end of the story. there is something else that happens. The man who was put in the cave was wrapped in his death clothes. And Jesus says to those standing around, unbind him and set him free. Unbind him and set him free. Friends, that's the business of the church. Jesus is in the business of restoring dead people to life, but it's the church's responsibility, once someone has been restored, to set them free, to walk into that newness of life, to embrace a new way of life. Because as we come into a relationship with God, it challenges the way we've been living, the values that we've had, the things that we've thought are so important. Suddenly, we're asked to change and walk in a different way. And it takes a community of people to unwrap us and set us free. It takes a new family to teach us how to live in this new world. My two youngest daughters, as some of you know, are right now in South America. Tara, the third of my four kids, is in Chile doing a study abroad. Jordan, the fourth of the four, is spending a year living in Brazil. They left the United States of America. They left New Jersey. They left everything that was familiar and comfortable to them. They got on a plane and they walked into a different place, a different world. Somebody had to teach them how to live in a different place. Now, fortunately, in both programs, they were placed with a new family. It kind of bothers me because they keep talking about their father, their dad. And I said, that man is not your dad. And they talk about their mom and their sister and their cousin of this new family. But they needed that new family to unwrap them and set them free, to teach them how to live in a new cultural situation, how to speak so they could be understood, what to eat, when to eat, how to dance, what to say, what not to say. It was a whole different cultural situation, and it took a new family to unwrap them and set them free, to show them that some of the ways of thinking that they adopted in this culture simply don't apply and aren't appropriate in that culture. And that's what happens when somebody encounters Jesus' powerful saving grace in their life. They wake up and they find themselves in a new world, in a new situation. And the old world that measures people's worth by their wealth, that doesn't matter anymore. The only thing that counts in this world is that we are beloved children of God. The old world says, don't worry about everyone else. This is a dog-eat-dog world. Our world says, those folks, whoever they are, wherever they are, if they're suffering, they belong to us, and we have responsibility to care for them. The old world says, worship yourself. We say, worship the one true God. The old world says, do what feels good. We say, watch out for what feels good because that might hurt you. It takes a community to unwrap people who have just been brought back to life if they're going to really be free. It's so interesting that Jesus calls the man out, but then he tells the people around, you unwrap him. You teach him how to live again. That's our work. That's the work of the church.